Hello, and welcome to another Pediatric MHP podcast. My name is Calvin Tompkins, and today I'm joined with Dr. Stephen Julius. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So Stephen joined the respiratory or pulmonary team at Mission Children's, and we're happy to have you serving children in this area.
Thank you.
And today we're going over and providing more context for the co-management guide for chronic cough, which is posted to the Mission Children's Toolbox. And why don't we just dive right in here? So with regards to cough, Dr. Julius, define chronic for us.
So just to back up for a moment, chronic cough, of course, is an incredibly common presenting symptom to a primary care office. And as one of the indicators of what defines a chronic cough, we often use the four-week cutoff. That 4 weeks doesn't have to be engraved in stone. It's a guideline because so many of the more common, particularly benign cough entities will resolve within 4 weeks. So it's a consideration, particularly in a child whose cough is getting better with time. So a child who, let's say, is coughing for 2 or 3 weeks and appears to be on a trajectory where that cough is improving or will resolve in a short amount of time, that would not necessarily require further evaluation.
Okay, great. And then under initial evaluation, one thing caught my eye, and that was foreign body in the ear canal. So take me from a foreign body in the ear canal to chronic cough.
So this is not a common cause of cough, but it is a cause of cough, and that is a foreign body in the ear canal. The same nerve endings, which innervate that part of the body, are linked to the cough receptors of the vagus nerve. So in the context of a physical exam in a child with chronic cough, I always list a foreign body in the ear, and it doesn't happen very often, but I certainly don't want it to be that sort of thing that's overlooked. It's probably the sort of thing we can count on one hand the number of times we'll see in a career, but it is on the differential for chronic cough.
All right. Great. Well, I can check off the box that I've learned something today. So thank you for that. So this co-management guide is organized a little bit differently. We have a long list, and so I'm just guessing that there's more than one thing that causes chronic cough.
There are indeed. And my approach to this guideline was not an all-inclusive list of everything that can cause cough, nor was I looking to list the top two or three most common entities. But I did want to list several entities because chronic cough is one of those things where at times we do have to scratch our head and wonder, is there something more beyond the more typical URI or post-nasal drip, which are, of course, also included on the list. So it's a fairly lengthy list from the more common entities are listed first. They are not in alphabetical order. They are listed loosely with the more common entities initially, and then farther down the list, the less common entities.
Okay, great. Well, I remember one of my mentors during training said, if it's not on your differential, you'll never diagnose it. So this is a good repository of potential entities that could be causing the chronic cough. Let's just move on to down here with regards to management. That's going to be specific to the diagnosis, but tell us given the severity and the potential for poor outcomes, what we should be thinking about with regards to foreign body in the respiratory tree.
So I always want to include foreign body in the discussion, even though it is not one of the more common causes of a chronic cough, although it's certainly the sort of thing that we do see from time to time. In approaching a foreign body, you have to weigh your index of suspicion. So certainly in a toddler, let's say, who puts things in their mouth and has a chronic cough, it's on the differential, yet I wouldn't say my index of suspicion would be terribly high. On the other hand, we've all had cases where our index of suspicion is very high. A child, a toddler who puts a bead in his mouth and then has a choking gagging spell and mom can't find the bead anymore and then he coughs for 20 minutes straight, turning red in the face, I would say would be a high index of suspicion. And if this is a child you're evaluating in the office and has asymmetric lung findings and perhaps even a chest x-ray that has asymmetric findings radiographically, then I would suggest this kid has a very high index of suspicion. The reason it's important to bring up this topic is then what is the next step in the algorithm? If there is a high index of suspicion for a foreign body, that child needs to be referred immediately to the airway team. And admission, it's referred to the airway team and many other institutions. They use the same terminology. It's simply the team or the physician on call who performs rigid endoscopy. And of course, it's also worth mentioning as a pulmonologist that we don't do rigid airway endoscopy. We do flexible bronchoscopy, and except for in very rare circumstances, that is not the gold standard for removing foreign bodies. So because I still get calls at every place I've worked, including Mission, regarding the foreign body concern, I thought it'd be worthwhile to mention just so in those specific cases when there is a high index of suspicion for foreign body, you know who the right team is to contact.
Okay. And I'm just guessing, you know, most primary care settings won't have ready access to radiology, so I'm just guessing that you want us to send them to the emergency room and have them handle that as well if it's not been done already.
Yeah, depending on the status of the child and again, the index of suspicion, how that child gets to the ER is up to the discretion of the provider. Obviously, if there's a young child who's symptomatic, that would be an ambulance ride to the emergency room. But in a child who's been doing this coughing for a month, your index may not be quite as high, but clearly needs an x-ray as part of this evaluation, then the family should take that child to the ER as soon as possible.
Okay, great. Under pre-visit workup, you have a number of diagnostics. In some of these co-management guides, it's the condition lends itself to a very kind of cookbook algorithmic approach, but it looks with regards to these diagnostics that it's sort of tailored to the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And in developing this guideline or co-management guideline, I was thinking of the entities that I see most often, the entities that are referred most often to me, and I would say asthma is number one on that list. So for the specific example in asthma, we talk about a trial of bronchodilator. If they're actively symptomatic or the symptoms have been prolonged, then consideration for a burst of systemic steroids and possibly even asthma control therapy in the form of inhaled corticosteroids. And, you know, asthma, of course, is incredibly common, affecting about 10 million kids in this country. So that would be one disease entity that I would put front and center for the child who's being referred to a pulmonologist for chronic cough. That doesn't suggest that all chronic cough or is related to asthma, and of course has to be taken in the context of what that child's doing. And that's why, again, I listed various other entities. There are kids who, for example, present with habit cough. They otherwise appear normal by all of their standards. They have this honking, brassing, most kids with habit cough have a very distinct quality to their cough, and usually you can diagnose it from the hallway because you hear this honking, goose-like cough that is worse during the day, worse when they're bored, usually in the classroom, yet seems to be magically abolished with nighttime sleep. So again, there's a long list of entities, but I try to at least address the ones that are often referred to me at the top part of the list.
Okay, great. And then with regards to referral criteria, the first item here is cough for greater than 4 weeks without improvement or response to therapy. And so our definition of chronic is 4 weeks, but obviously providers are not going to wait to that 4 week mark before they embark on treatment of many of these entities. But it's sort of after that failed period of 4 weeks that becomes a criteria to refer to pulmonology.
And the 4 weeks is not an absolute distinguishing factor. We certainly don't send consults away. Obviously, a more severe cough or a cough that's getting worse should not wait 4 weeks. Obviously, if there are other red flag symptoms that are included in that same section. But 4 weeks is when we do tend to scratch our head and wonder if there's something beyond the more benign conditions. And it would not be unreasonable in a cough that has hit a plateau or a cough that's improving but still invading that child's life and leading to problems, to try some of the things listed within the co-management guideline. So I don't mean to suggest that 4 weeks is the absolute number for which a referral can and should be pursued. It is to suggest, though, when it goes beyond 4 weeks, especially in the context of trying other therapies which may not be helpful, to consider a referral.
Okay. Great. And then I see you have notes here for if symptoms are specific to GERD or allergic rhinitis, that there are other specialists that can help us with those particular symptoms as well, and may have overlap and include cough in that symptom constellation.
Absolutely. So I'd like to think we have a monopoly. Us pulmonologists have a monopoly on the cough business, but like any disease entity or any symptom, it does bubble over into other specialties as well. So the two that you had just mentioned, GI, reflux is not an uncommon cause of cough. So certainly, if there's a child who has the more of the classic symptoms, a younger child who regurgitates and is irritable, an older child who complains of dyspepsia, heartburn, that sort of thing, and it's associated with cough, it would not be unreasonable. If the child's doing well for a trial of reflux therapy, it would also not be unreasonable in the context of poor response to anti-reflux therapy to refer to a gastroenterologist. And by that same token, in a child who's exhibiting signs of atopy or allergies, allergic rhinitis, chronic runny nose, nasal congestion, eczema on exam, the classic, you know, allergic shiners, Denny's lines, things to suggest that allergy is playing a role, particularly with a positive family history for allergy. Of course, a lot of that does overlap into the things that we do as pulmonologists, but we don't offer allergy testing, or I should say, be more specific, we don't offer allergy skin testing. So if there's a high index of suspicion that allergy is playing a significant and primary role, it would not be unreasonable to refer those children to an allergist.
Okay. Great. Anything for the good of the order?
Well, there's two links at the bottom. There's one from the American College of Chest Physicians, and the second link, I think, is from the British Thoracic Society. I listed those articles because they're both also presented as guidelines, and they have some really useful algorithms. Again, they're just they're guidelines. We don't have to be terribly rigid, and it doesn't mean if you follow that end to that pathway that's the exact disease entity that child has. Otherwise, we might be out of a job. I'm simply suggesting there's some nice algorithms there for evaluating these children. So I thought that would be helpful, and those are included at the bottom.
Great. Well, I appreciate your time. Oh, we've got one more
thing.
Here.
Within diagnostic workup, if a patient is being evaluated for a chronic cough, not quite ready to pull the trigger to make a referral, but you're considering other diagnostic workup, I would have a very low threshold to obtain a two-view chest X-ray. I'm spoiled. I can obtain a chest X-ray here in the building. So if there's a child who's being referred anyway, you should not feel obligated to obtain a chest X-ray. But again, in the setting of I'm managing this chronic cough, I'm trying some therapies, I'm going to pursue some diagnostic workup before sending that child to a specialist, one thing to consider would be a two-view chest X-ray.
Great. Okay. That sounds reasonable. Great. Well, I appreciate your time, and this chronic cough co-management guide is posted on the Mission Children's Toolbox website, which is a public-facing website, and all of your providers and referral staff in your office can have access to it. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.